Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we are looking at justification in Roman Catholic theology, focusing on the role of the sacraments in relationship to justification. In our program yesterday, I gave an overview of what a sacrament is, and today I want to focus in on the sacrament of penance, which is related to the subject of confession in Roman Catholic theology. Let me give you a brief overview of what penance and confession is. According to the Baltimore Catechism, confession is, and I quote, "the telling of our sins to an authorized priest for the purpose of obtaining forgiveness." This practice started in approximately the 5th century and wasn't official dogma in the Roman Catholic Church until the Fourth Lateran Council in 1215. Basically, upon committing a mortal sin, which in Roman Catholic theology is a serious sin, Catholics are required to go to confession, confess that to a priest, do penance, receive absolution by the priest from that sin. And they're actually required to go to confession at least once a year, but are encouraged to do so more than that. Now, the basic scriptures that they use to justify this practice are John chapter 20 and verse 23, where Jesus said to his apostles, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Also in James chapter 5, verse 16, which says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." Other references are Matthew 18:18, which says, "Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Also 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19, which mentions that we are ministers of reconciliation. Also Leviticus 13, verses 1 through 3, where someone had leprosy was required to go to the priest and show them to make sure that they truly were cured of that. Also in Acts chapter 19, verse 18, and Matthew 3, 1 through 6, where people were publicly confessing their sins. As one can see, as if you would look at these scriptures in context, they have absolutely nothing to do with going into a confessional box, confessing your sins to a priest, and then that priest asking you to do penance, which is some form of good works to receive God's grace for forgiveness. This idea of confessing to a priest is nowhere found in the New Testament. It's never described in the book of Acts or in any of the other New Testament documents. And actually, it is a complete contradiction to what was emphasized in the Reformation, the priesthood of all believers, meaning that we're all priests before God. There's not a separation between the priesthood and the laity, that there's actually men ruling over the laity. As 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." So we are a royal priesthood. We're all priests before God. And we can go directly to the throne of God and find grace and help in time of need, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 through 16. As well as if you'd look carefully at these confession of sins that was being done, it was a public confession where a group of people were around, as well as James chapter 5 doesn't distinguish between a priest and the laity. It says confess your sins one to another, which clearly teaches that you're not going to a priest to receive forgiveness of sins, but we confess our sins one to another and pray for one another. Now, it is important to understand that confession in Roman Catholic theology is not optional. It's an obligation. If an individual wants to receive forgiveness of sins from God, they must go to confession and do penance. Let me read from a Roman Catholic catechism on the subject of confession and penance, which reads, "Before his confession is held by the church to be of any value, however, he must be truly sorry he committed the sin. He must resolve not to repeat it. He must agree to make restitution to any person whom his sin may have injured and must be willing to accept the penance imposed by the priest. When these conditions prevail, and he shall make his confession, the priest shall give him absolution. This means the priest, acting as God's representative, forgives him in God's name for the offenses against God." As I read this, one could see the power and authority that the priest has in the Roman Catholic Church. Let me read also from another Roman Catholic document, Canon 888, which describes the authority the priest has, and I quote, "The priest has to remember that in hearing confession, he is a judge." Then from Canon 870, it reads, "In the confessional, the minister has the power to forgive all crimes committed after baptism." So the priest stands as judge, and he's the one that has the authority to forgive sins that are committed after baptism. Before we move on to the subject of penance and how works are actually related to man receiving his forgiveness, I want to read a series of scriptures which focuses on the fact God alone is the one that forgives sins. In Mark chapter 2, verse 7, the religious leaders, when they heard Jesus' teaching, responded, and they say, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And these Jews definitely knew their Old Testament, as the book of Isaiah says that God is the one that blots out sin. Also in Mark chapter 9, verse 6, Jesus said, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." So Jesus here is confessing that the Son of Man is the one that has power to forgive sins. Then it's very clear in 1 John 1, verse 9, which says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." It's God is the one that forgives. Also, 1 John 2, verse 1 says, "My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the whole world." So Jesus is our advocate, not a priest, not a man. He's our mediator. He's our advocate in heaven, the one that is righteous and the one that could bring forgiveness and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that truly is a wonderful truth that sets a man's heart free, as well as gives him a greater love and appreciation for what the Lord accomplished at the cross. One could also add to this list of scripture Isaiah 43:25, which says, "I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." Also in Daniel 9, verse 9, Daniel confesses that to God alone belongs mercy and compassion. Then in Acts chapter 10:43 and Acts 13:38 and 39, Peter acknowledges the fact that in the name of Jesus, sins are forgiven. Now, linked up with confession is the sacrament of penance, which basically is what the priest tells a person after they've confessed their sin, good deeds that they need to do in order to receive the grace of God. So basically, man is doing good works in order to receive grace or to receive God's forgiveness, which amounts to a salvation by man's works. The penance that a priest may give may be a repetition of prayers, the rosary, making of contribution, or good works to be performed. The penance helps atone for man's sins. It helps them make up for what evil a person has done. And interesting enough, even some of the sins are not going to be paid off by these works, but eventually have to be paid for by the person while they're suffering in purgatory until this death is paid up. Penance is able to take away all the eternal punishment of hell, but not the temporal punishment which purgatory may bring about. And according to the Catholic Almanac on page 269 and 559, penance is necessary for salvation. Now, as I'm saying much of this, you may say, well, where did they get this idea? Well, part of the problem was that in the Douay version, which is a Catholic version of the scriptures, they translated the term metanoia, which is the term repent, as do penance. The term metanoia in Greek was a military term which basically meant to repent, change your mind or direction. It was a military command to go the opposite direction that one was marching. Now, the New American Translation, which is also published by the Roman Catholic Church, has correctly translated this term repent from the Greek rather than from the Latin Vulgate, which communicated the idea of do penance. The problem is, although they may have the right translation now, they still have the wrong doctrine of demanding that people do penance in order to receive the grace of God. Once again, this brings us back to their misunderstanding of the idea of grace. I want to quote once again from Father Smith Instructs from page 134, where he tells us what grace is. He writes that grace in general is a gift which enables man to save his soul. And so by doing penance, you do the works, and then grace is infused into your soul to bring forgiveness, but also to add to the other amounts of grace that you received previously through the other sacraments. And again, hopefully a person receives enough grace in order not to have to spend too much time in purgatory after they die. Let's go back to John 20 in verses 21 through 23, because this is one of the main texts that the Roman Catholics use to justify confession and penance. In verse 21, it says, "Jesus said to them, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.'" Then verse 23 says, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now, here you need to put it in the context, just as God sent Jesus to go into the world to proclaim this message, now we as the church, starting with the apostles, also now have the authority to go out and pronounce the forgiveness of sins, or the fact sins are going to be retained upon a person based on their acceptance or the rejection of the message that we communicate. It does not say that we are going to forgive sins. It says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. Who does the forgiving? God. So when we preach the gospel and people respond, we could say your sins are forgiven, not by us as a church or by a priesthood, but by God himself, because you have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We need to realize that there's no verse in Scripture. Let me refute the idea of confession and penance. First of all, there's no verse of Scripture that teaches this at all. Secondly, in verse 23, the term is passive, that they are forgiven them. That means someone else is doing the forgiving, not as forgiveness takes place in heaven. God is the one that brings about forgiveness. Third, there's no indication or mention of the idea of confession or penance in the first two centuries from the church fathers, or that the apostles ever transmitted this power to anyone, that they had the ability or power to forgive sins. And it's very clear in 1 John 1:9 that God is the one that brings about forgiveness and cleansing from all of our sins. So it's clear in Roman Catholic theology in the aspect of the sacraments, especially here focusing on confession and penance, that man does not receive the grace of God through faith, but through his own efforts and works. He actually cooperates with the grace of God in order to save himself. That is completely contrary to the New Testament. In one passage, it needs to be pointed out that when Jesus was hanging on the cross and was about to die, in John chapter 19, verse 30, it says, "So when Jesus received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." Jesus finished the work that the Father sent him to do, completed the work of salvation. So now that anyone who would have faith in his name would receive forgiveness of sins, that God himself would bring about that forgiveness. Now we as a church have the authority to go out and proclaim that message, and when people respond to the message, we could tell them that God forgives them, and if they reject the message, we could also say, your sins remain upon you, and you stand in a state of being unforgiven by God himself. My purpose for doing these studies on Roman Catholic theology is, first of all, so you could understand where people in this church are coming from, so you can more effectively minister the gospel to them. Because many of them do have a heart for God, but they're trapped in this legalistic system of works and trying to earn God's favor. They need the truth to set them free. So I encourage you to study the Word of God to be able to bring truth and liberty to those whose hearts are open to receive the simple message of faith in Jesus Christ.